2 weeks ago, Sedra, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Torah tells us, Vayaminu Bashem uvamoshe avdo, that Klal Yisrael believed in the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and they believed in Moshe, Eved Hashem. The Vilna Gaon says what it means is that they believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was merely an Eved Hashem. When it came to Nisim v'Niflaos, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu who made these miracles, but it was the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and Moshe Rabbeinu was only an Eved Hashem who fulfilled his ratzo. That's what they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah, except in this pasuk, Vayaminu Bashem uvamoshe avdo. It's the only time Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in the Haggadah, so as not to think that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who did and made Yetzias Mitzrayim. Person has to believe that a godel, even Moshe Rabbeinu, is not a power to himself. He's merely an Eved Hashem. He's somebody who fulfills the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Rav Shamshon Feuerl Hirsch says that's why before the Torah introduces Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron's mission to Paro and all the miracles they're going to do, the Torah prefaces it with the genealogy of Moshe and Aaron. Because we don't have leaders that we make into gods. All other nations, their leaders are basically gods. Didn't have a father, didn't have a mother, or whatever. Our leaders had a father and a mother, and this is the name of the father, and this is the name of the mother. And don't get carried away, they're human beings. And you should understand they're human beings who are Avdei Hashem. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael as a tourist, the only time I was a tourist before I moved here 2 years after that. So we went to, on our own, my wife and myself, to see all the Mekomos HaKadoshim. After the Kosel HaMaravi, every Mokom Kodesh is a grave. So after a day or two of this, my wife says, all we've been doing is visiting graves. Wouldn't it have been better if they made the Mokom Kodesh Rabbi Akiva's Beis Medrash, Hishtender? Right, not his grave. That grave, the Kohanim can't come here, or whatever. It's a place of tumma. Why is that the Mokom HaKodesh? I told her because that is exactly what a person has to understand about Gedolei Yisrael. On the one hand, if you think that Gedolei Yisrael are malachim, and even though it says im rishonim ki malachim, it doesn't say im rishonim malachim. If you make them into gods, into angels, then there's absolutely nothing you can learn from them. Because the books that are written about Gedolim that make them into superhuman beings are interesting and entertaining like Superman comics. If you don't know what that is, you can ask somebody. I would have a feeling that most of you know what it is. It's nice, but it's a fantasy. It's something that you can never be. Maybe if you're 3 years old, you put a towel around your neck and think you can fly, right, because you're inspired by Superman. But when you get a little bit older, you realize that it's not something you could possibly emulate. So unless you understand that Gedolei Yisrael were human beings, then you can't learn anything from them. On the other hand, look how great those human beings were. They're kim malachim. They're human beings that became like malachim, and they did it on their own with their own free choice. And therefore you can do the same thing. Not necessarily at the same level, but you can use your free choice to also be somebody. So if we look at the Rishonim, malachim, there's nothing you can learn from them. If they're kim malachim, it's a different story. And therefore, the Mekomos HaKadoshim are dafka, the places where they're buried. Because you know for sure they were Basar V'dam. How do I know they're dead? They're buried here. But look what a Basar V'dam can be. And that can inspire you to emulate them and to look up to them. So, on the one hand, we are supposed to know that Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei HaChachamim, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu, were not gods, they weren't angels. They were people like Rav Huttner has a famous letter. Someone said, I'm giving up learning. I'm leaving the Beis Medrash because I'll never be a Gadol b'Yisrael. It's futile. I have a Yetzer Hara. I have a lot of Nisyonos. And he understood that Gedolei Yisrael were born Gedolim. Right? They had no Yetzer Hara. They had no Nisyonos. They were Tzaddikim from the time they were 2-3 years old. They knew Shas by the time they were 4 years old. And so I'm not like that. Rav Huttner said, don't you think that Gedolei Yisrael had Nisyonos? They weren't born Malachim, but they became Gedolim. You can do the same thing if you choose to do so. You may again, may be not on the same level, but everybody can reach their potential. So on the one hand, Im Rishonim Kimalachim, we're supposed to understand that they're only Kimalachim, but they're Kimalachim. They're Basar V'dam, but a Basar V'dam can also reach this level. That's why the mitzvah of Yiras Talmidei Chacham is not a separate mitzvah to itself. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the S, includes the Rabbos Talmidei Chachamim, because it's a part of fearing the Rabbonu Shel Olam. There, the fear, the awe that you have of a Talmid Chacham is not directed at him as a human being, as a person, as a personality, because then it becomes a personality cult. It becomes almost an idol worship. But your respect and awe of that Talmud Chacham is because he represents the Rabbonu Shel Olam. It's because of the Torah that he has. Not because of his individual personality. Because if it's his individual personality, it borders on Avodah Zarah. And that's why the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham has to be extra tzanua, extra modest and humble. The idea of modesty in a nutshell is, whenever there is an external something that could distract people's attention, and you want to make the statement, there's more here than meets the eye, don't be distracted by the externals. We cover the externals to make the point that what's the main thing over here is not what's external, it's what's internal. That's tznius. That's the idea of tznius. Tznius is to cover the external in order to distract attention from it and attract attention to the more important thing. A human being is not an animal. An animal is a body. So we cover our bodies in order to make the statement, we are not bodies, we're not animals, we are neshamas. So we distract attention from the external and attract the attention to that which is more important, the internal. A Talmid Chacham, you have to stand in awe of him. But if you stand in awe of his personality, then it borders, like the Vilna Gaon says, on idolatry. He makes him an Elil. So the Talmud Chacham has to be extra tzanua and distract attention from his externals and make the statement, what you stand in awe, the Amunah, the Yira, is from what I represent. What I represent, the Rabbonu Shel Olam, on Eved Hashem, the Torah I possess. That's what you stand in awe of, not the person himself. That is by Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayaminu Bashem uva Moshe Avdo. However, in last week's Sedra, it says again, V'gam b'cho yaminu li'olam. When it comes to the transmission of Torah, there's an inyan to believe in the Chacham himself as a transmitter of Torah. There it's not V'gam b'yaminu through you. Gam b'cho yaminu. Why? Because when it comes to Torah, their human beings are very, very significant. Because lo b'shamayim hi. The Rabbonu Shel Olam relinquished his control over the Torah kibiyachol. That's Ratzon Hashem. And if you have problems and doubts, and you have to know what is Ratzon Hashem, you don't go to a Navi and ask him, what does the Rabbonu Shel Olam want? What's the halacha? What's the Torah? And if the Navi tells you, he's chayiv misa. He's a Navi sheker, says the Rambam. Because the Rabbanu Shel Olam said, lo b'shamayim hi. I will not divulge my Torah to you. I did it once on Har Sinai. And from that point on, the Torah is down here in the realm of what human beings learn. And that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants. Al pi ha-Torah sheyorucha. If you have doubts, you have questions, you go to the Sanhedrin. You go to your Rav. You go to Talmidei Chachamim, and they argue it out, and come to the Emes, and whatever they come out with is Torah. So there it's Gam Bechoy Aminu La'olam. There it's down in this realm. You have to believe in the Talmud Chacham that he is the representative of Torah. And it's not the Rabbanu Shalom anymore. And that's a famous maisa in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Argument over an oven, whether it was Mekabel Tumah or not Mekabel Tumah. And Rabbi Lezer held one way, and Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachomim held differently. And Rabbi Lezer said, if I'm right, then the stream should go the opposite way. The walls of the Beis Medrash should cave in. And finally, a bas kol came out min hashamayim and said, the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Yeshua got up on his feet and he says, we don't listen to bas kols, lo b'shamayim hi. The Rabbanu Shalom told us how to decide what the halacha is. And it's not by going to a prophet, and it's not listening to a bas kol or watching miracles. It's given into the hands of Talmidei Chachamim. That's what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. And whatever they come out with, that's Ratzon Hashem. And what did the Rabbanu Shalom say at that time? Nitzchuni Bonai. Nitzchuni Bonai can mean they were victorious over me. They won the argument over me. But the Maritzchia says Nitzchuni means they made me eternal. Because if the Torah depends on a Navi, there aren't Nevi'im around all the time. So says the Abarbanel also. And the Torah would not be something that's eternal. But since the Rabbanu Shalom put it in the hands of Talmidei Chachamim of every generation to decide what the halacha is and what the Torah is, then Nitzchuni, then it's eternal. Something that doesn't depend on a Navi, it doesn't depend on anything, it depends on the people who are here deciding it with the rules the Rabbanu Shalom gave and with their seichel. And that's what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. So when it comes to Torah, the Gam Becho Yaminu La'olam, not just Vayaminu Bashem Uvamosha Avdo, but here the Talmud Chacham has a tremendous central point. And that applies to the Talmidei Chachamim of every generation. Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. Right? That's why the Gemara says the names of the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu were not mentioned. Because every generation, right, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Matike Hashmua, those that are responsible to give over the Mesorah from generation to generation, are as great as the Talmidei Chachamim in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know who they were. They're anonymous. They're the same anonymous. They may have been greater, but the generation was greater. These people are lesser, but the generation is lesser. Each one according to their generation. Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. And therefore, if there's no emunas chachamim, as Rabbi Stein said, there's no Torah. Because without a Torah shebal peh, and we're talking now not only about Torah shebal peh, tanoim, amoroim, we're talking in every generation. Because if there is no emuna in chachamim, there's no Torah. Because the Rabbanu Shalom said the Torah is decided by pilpul of Bnei Adam, of Basar V'dam, of human beings. And if you don't believe them, then there's no Torah. Because there's no other way of knowing what the Torah is. The same Rabbanu Shalom who gave the Torah said, Ki pole mim chadover, when you'll have doubts, don't come and ask me, I won't tell you. And if somebody says, I did tell you, kill him. He's a Navi Sheker. How do I want the Torah decided? I gave it over to human beings. Let them decide according to the rules I gave them and according to the people who are qualified to do it. Right? Doctors are qualified to make a pronouncement about medicine, operations, or whatever. Somebody who never learned medicine or has no idea what it's all about, you're not going to listen to him if he tells you this is what you should do with this operation or with this sickness or whatever. It has to be somebody who's qualified. What makes him qualified, we'll see in a few minutes. But he has to have the qualifications of being somebody who's capable of being a decider of Torah. Not everybody can decide Torah. What is the main condition? The Gemara says in Makkos, people are very foolish. They stand up for a Sefer Torah comes out of the Aron Kodesh, everybody stands up. But a Talmud Chacham walks into a room, they don't necessarily stand up so fast. That's foolishness. because the Sefer Torah is a dead Sefer Torah. It's written on dead parchment with dead ink. It's locked in an Aron Kodesh most of the week. Doesn't answer anybody's questions. Doesn't do anything. What's the purpose of that Torah? That people should learn it and become living Sefer Torah. So people stand up for the dead Sefer Torah and don't stand up for the living Sefer Torah. So the first Tanai is a person who is the kind of person who can be the one who transmits Torah, has to be a living Sefer Torah. He has to represent Torah completely. It can't just be somebody who knows a lot of Torah. That's Chochmah. It's not Torah. Chochmah by Goyim, Goyim have Chochmah too. But Goyim don't have Torah. Torah is Horah, something that has to make an impression on the person. The Gemara says, Torah is compared to fire. Ma'esh osaroshim af Torah osaroshim. Fire makes an impression. And if it doesn't make an impression, it's not fire. You can have stage fire. They have this liquid you put on your hat and light it on fire. It's a cold flame. You come to a chasana, dance. You don't become a Buddhist monk and immolated. You can go to the next chasana too. And you don't even lose the hat. You don't even lose the hat. It's stage fire. Looks like fire, smells like fire, sounds like fire, but it's not real fire. It's stage fire. How do I know? It doesn't burn anything. So if the Torah doesn't make an impression on the person who's learning it, to make him a living Sefer Torah, then you know he doesn't have Torah. He has a lot of Chochmah. The Torah was not given into the hands of Chachomim. It was given into the hands, as my Rosh Yeshiva or Gifter said, to Talmidei Chachomim. People who are Talmidim of the Chochmah. Not people who possess Chochmah. You can possess all the Chochmah in the world, but if it doesn't make an impression on you, if it doesn't affect your behavior, your midos, but you become a living representation of what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants of a person in this world, then we're not talking about people like that. We're not talking people who know a lot of Torah. We're talking people who become living Sefer Torah. And for that, you need Midos Tovos, you need Yerushamayim, you need the 48 Kinyonim that make that Torah a Kinyon, that make that person a living Sefer Torah. And then the person, Taka, becomes a Malach Hashem Tzvokos. He made himself into a Malach. Klal Yisrael has a knack to know who those people are. Plenty of Talmidei Chachamim, not everybody reaches that level of being a Gadol B'Yisrael, where he's responsible to give over the Torah from generation to generation. So how do we decide who those people are? We don't, definitely do not have elections. That is not how to decide it. The Chofetz Chaim was never elected to be the Gadol Hador, right? Neither was the Chazon Ish, or any other Gadol B'Yisrael was not elected to be so by people who have no idea what a Gadol is supposed to be. And there for sure Negius plays a place. How did Klal Yisrael choose their Gedolim throughout the generations? Many of these Gedolim never had a smicha. They didn't have an official position. Chofetz Chaim wasn't an official anything. But he was the Chofetz Chaim. And people knew the Chofetz Chaim represented the Rebbeinu Shlom, represented Torah. The Chazon Ish, the same thing. And in every generation there are people that Klal Yisrael recognize, and it's across the board, Kemat. Whether people accept or they don't accept or they whatever, but they know these people, Taka, are Mishich Molamala. They're people who represent Torah. They're people who just don't know Torah. There's a lot of people who know a lot of Torah, but they never were Gedolei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael have a knack in Lav Neviim Heim B'nei Neviim Heim. And Klal Yisrael as a Klal know who their Gedolim are. And it's not just that they Hamon Am, but the Talmidei Chachomim of the generation look up to these people. Now, if you want to know who a good doctor is, who's a good professor, you ask the doctors. You don't ask the patients necessarily. Right? Because the doctors know, right, who amongst them is the one that they really look up to, who knows more than they do. So the Talmidei Chachomim of the generation look up to certain people and know that they are a Rav Moshe Feinstein or a Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in America, their places. They knew that these people were Mishichmo Olamala, and it's the Talmidei Chachom of the generation looked up to them. Then those people are the people that represent Torah, the people who are the people who can give over Torah and responsible to give over Torah. And that person who works on himself and makes himself like a malach, he wasn't born a malach, but his learning Torah, his omel ha-Torah, his breadth and depth of Torah, his mesiris nefesh for Torah, his midos tovos, his yiras shamayim, all of that is part of the package. That person acquires das Torah, as it says in the Mishnah, in the last parak of Pirkei Avos, as Rabbi Stein said, the person who learns Torah lishma, who zoche to become that kind of person, who meshes his being with the Torah, is zoche l'dvorim harbe. And one of them is that the Rabbanu Shel Olam is megala lo soldei haTorah, not secrets. But the soldei haTorah means he understands the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He understands what the intent of the Torah is, what the intent of the Rabbanu Shel Olam is. And therefore Chazal say, that's called Das Torah. Das Torah is, if you have a computer, and you have to put into the database of the computer a lot of information, otherwise the computer can't work. It only accesses the information you put in. So whatever you put into that, that's what you're going to get out. So if you put in faulty mathematics, you're going to get results that are based on faulty mathematics. If you put into the computer that 1 plus 1 is 3, then all the calculations the computer is going to make is going to make on that basis that 1 plus 1 is 3. A person whose entire database, his entire experience of Chochmah is Torah, at the exclusion of everything else, he sees everything from a Torah standpoint, then what he calculates when he sees any problem, any issue, is based on the database he has of Torah. People whose entire database is not Torah, who are influenced by a lot of other things, so their conclusions are going to be based on other things. And that's why many times Chazal say that Das Balibatim is Hofuch from Das HaTorah. Because when you look at things and you base it totally on Torah facts, then you come out with what the Torah would want in that situation. When you base it on many, many other facts and factors, then you come out with what those factors would want in that situation, not necessarily what the Torah and what the Rabbanu Shel Olam would want in that situation. And therefore Chazal say, even though Nevuah was taken away from the Nevi'im, lo nitlo min ha-chachamim, that kind of Nevuah was given to Chachamim, and through learning Torah, a person can be like a Navi. What's that mean? Ezeu chacham haroes ha-nolad. The Brisker Rav said about his father, he said, my father could look at an issue and see what the ramifications would be in 50 years. And that's how he made decisions. Not what it looked like just right now. What are the ramifications? What is going to be the far-reaching effects of this issue, how to decide it? That's Nevuah. That's Haroes HaNolad. But where does it come from? It comes from being sensitive and having that database of Kulo Torah. And that's the Nevuah of Chachamim. The Brisker Rav said, I can see maybe 20 years into the future, but my father could see 50 years into the future. Not because he was a Navi, because he had that sensitivity to Chochmas HaTorah, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam gives those people the ability to be Roes HaNolad. It's a different kind of Nevuah. It's a Nevuah that comes from the Torah itself, which is eternal. And Das Torah is not only to Paskin Shilas. The Chazon Ish says that somebody who thinks that a person has to follow Gedolei Yisrael, you have to listen to the Chofetz Chaim, you have to listen to the Chazon Ish, you have to listen to Gedolei Yisrael when they're talking about Torah issues, when they're talking about Halacha, what's Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha, or Hilchas Pesach, then that's their domain. But we have to listen to a Chacham and a Gadol when he talks about other things, he talks about politics. What's his? So he talks about business. I come to ask him a business shaila, and it's not a psak in the Shulchan Aruch somewhere. Why should I listen to him? What does he know better than me? Somebody who feels like that, that limits the Das Torah to halachic inyanim, but hashkafic inyanim and other inyanim, that's not, he said that borders on Apikorsis. That's how the Haskalah started. Didn't start because they gave up believing bichlal in the Torah or bichlal, but they relegated Talmid Chacham is one thing and this is something else. And then that something else grew until it was everything. So why Taka? Because Torah is everything. There's nothing outside the realm of Torah. The, I'd like to say that the Chazal say, Ein laKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo ela dalet ama shel halacha bilvad. If you want to know how the Rabbanu Shlom looks at his world, what's important to him is only dalet ama shel halacha. That seems like a very limiting statement. God created a world with so many different things in it, but he's not interested in any of those things. All he wants is dalet ama shel halacha. Seemingly, the dalet ama is where somebody's sitting and learning halacha. Right? Everybody takes up arba amos, so it means dalet ama shel halacha, where somebody is sitting and learning halacha. Very difficult. If that's the case, and why did the Rebbe Shem create everything else? He should have created little telephone booths, Dalet Amos and Shulchan Aruch, and everybody gets their own little telephone booth and sit and learn halacha. That's after all the Rebbe Shem's interested in. He wasted his time and money creating all these other things. And secondly, you can't learn like that. Cherev al abadim. You can't learn alone. You have to learn with a chavrusa. So you need these two, eight amos. You need two telephone booths to read. It's enough for two people. Not just one. So what's Dalet Ama Shel Halacha? I wanted to say the idea is the following. The concept of Dalet Ama is a halachic concept. Basically applies to acquisitions. The Chachamim were mesaken that if you're walking in a certain place and you see something that doesn't apply everywhere, but if you, what's it called? You see something that's hefker. An aveda, right? You see a $100 bill, has no simanim, flying in the wind, and it's on the ground, and you say, oh, I saw it first, I want it, doesn't help. Somebody else comes and takes it, it's his. Just seeing it and claiming it doesn't help. You have to acquire it. But the Chum didn't want people to fight, so they said that if that $100 bill is within your Dalet Amos, it's within your four Amos circle with you as the center, and a radius of four amas around, right, then it belongs to you. So people won't come to fight. If it's within your Dalet Amas, you can already claim it. Why? Because a person's sphere of influence is Dalet Amas. If you get down on the ground and make your foot the center of a circle and reach out your hand, the radius of that circle will be Dalet Amas. All around you is the area. To all the sides, your sphere of influence is Dalet Amos. That's the case when Chazal said, "Ein laKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo ela Dalet Amos shel halacha bilvad." It's not limiting, exclusive. It's all inclusive. You want to know how the Rebbeinu Shlom looks at his world, the fish and the birds and the heavens, everything is Dalet Amos shel halacha. It's within the sphere of influence of halacha. There's nothing outside that sphere of influence. Either it's a specific open halacha, or it's something that's in the sphere of influence. It's within the Dalet Amos of halacha. I just want to say that's what it says, Kol Hashomer Halachos Bechol Yom Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Person who learns halachos, two halachos minimum, every day, is Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. That's really easy. You don't have to do anything. Just learn to, don't just have to keep them. Just learn them. Show me halachos. Don't say, call them a kaim shtei halachos b'chol yom. Sounds too easy. It is too easy. That's, can't mean what it means. Just, you know, an apple a day may keep the doctor away, but two halachos don't get you to be a ben olam haba. A ben olam haba is a tremendous thing. It's not just you have, everybody has a chelik in olam haba, but you could lose that chelik. If you're a ben olam haba, then that's the difference between a bar mitzvah and a baal aveira. When it comes to aveiras, we call the person a baal aveira. Right? He's the husband of the aveira. When it comes to a mitzvah, we call him a bar or bas mitzvah. He's the son or daughter of the mitzvah. Why by mitzvah is it a son or a daughter, and by aveiras it's a husband? So women will tell you because husbands are related to aveiras, and the children are always related to mitzvahs. But that's not the reason. The relationship between a husband and wife is something that is created and can be dissolved. You can give a get. Person, Rahman al-Islam, can die. There's no more relationship. But the relationship between a parent and a child is eternal. You can't divorce your children, even though sometimes you would like to. And you can't divorce your parents, even though some people would like to do that too. It's impossible. And even the death of the parent or the death of the child doesn't break up that relationship. Parents are parents even after death. It's still a chiyuv of kibud av va'em. So the relationship to a mitzvah is a ben and a bas. You can't give it up. You can be to'al rishonos and not get schar for it. But the mitzvah is still there. And avera you can obliterate by doing tshuva. Take it away completely. You can even turn it into a mitzvah. So the relationship that a person has with an avera is only a baal. But the relationship has with a mitzvah is a ben or a bas. A ben olam haba is a person who has that relationship. Tosa says you get in a shu'in. You don't have to go through Yisurin. It's something that is intrinsic. Now just from learning two halachas every day, right? That's not the way that you become an intrinsic chelik that you can't even get rid of in Olam Haba. So what does it mean? So I think it means the following. If it would say, kol hashoma halachos kol yom, it would mean whoever learns two halachas every day. It doesn't say that. It says, kol hashoma halachos bichol yom. Bichol yom means he learns halacha into every day. Everything he experiences, everything that happens, everything that is current, past, everything in the world is dalet amashal halacha. And he learns halachos bichol yom. And that's what we learn from halichos olam lo. Halichos olam means that halacha is the byways of the world. Every single thing in the world is governed by halacha. That's what halacha is, halichos olam. And a person who understands that, that everything is Torah, there's nothing outside the realm of Torah. Either it's something that's specifically, openly Torah, or it's in dalet amos shel halacha. A person like that is for sure a ben olam haba, because everything is Torah for him. And because everything is Torah, and therefore emunas chachamim, who are the ones who are responsible to tell us what Torah is, are responsible to tell us what life is. And it's not just in paskening shaylos, but it's every aspect of life that das Torah is significant to. And therefore, the halacha is that even if they tell you al yamin shu small, al small shu yamin, even if they tell you that right is left and left is right, you still have to believe them. That doesn't mean that you can't argue with a Talmud Chacham, if you're on the level to argue, or ask questions, you can ask questions too. But after you argue and you tell him what you think and he still holds that this is the way it is, then you have to listen. We'll see who you have to listen to, but al-filo al-yamin shu small va-small shimin. Why? There's a few reasons. One is because his determination is based on, like we said, a total Torah database. So you think he's making a mistake. You think he's telling you right is left and left is right. But that's because your determinations are based on other considerations. So according to your considerations, what he's telling you is left is right and right is left. But according to Torah's considerations, that's right and right. He's not making any mistake. It's only in your mind, like Rabbi Stein said before, right, on the surface or whatever, it looks like he's telling you something that's wrong. That doesn't mean that Talmid Chacham can't make a mistake. Because the Sanhedrin can make mistakes after being a carbon. They made a mistake. So they're not infallible. Only the Pope is infallible. Talmid Chacham are not infallible. Not infallible. But, because you think they're making a mistake, maybe they're not making a mistake. That's one reason. Second reason is, because the Sefer HaChinuch says, could be they're making a mistake. But if every time you think they're making a mistake, you think you don't have to listen, then you'll never listen. Because they're always making mistakes. If they're saying what you don't want to hear. So it's better to follow Talmidei Chachamim when they're making a mistake, because 99% of the time they're not going to make a mistake. And there should be authority, then if the 1% when you think they're making a mistake, you don't have to listen, then that 1% will become the 100%. So it's kedai, there should be authority in Klal Yisrael, even if you follow Gedol Yisrael when they make a mistake. But there's another idea too. Yes, it goes with a story. When I first became a rabbi in Miami, so the Kehila was afraid that I was going to make the whole community black. And who know, coming from Tells or whatever, and so they hurry up and made another youth organization in the community to try to counterbalance my influence. And they started a B'nai Akiva chapter in Miami. And they thought that that would, Baruch Hashem, I agreed that they should have the B'nai Akiva chapter in our shul, with one condition, that I would have a veto over any shliach they sent who would be the leaders, because the leaders had to represent the same standards of the community. And Baruch Hashem, we got the leaders that they sent us that were le'elo, le'elo. Many of them better than me. More from than me, I feel. What's it called? So Baruch Hashem, it worked out very, very nicely. In any case, the first Shabbos, they had a guest from Eretz Yisrael. We were in Chutz La'aretz then. A guest from Eretz Yisrael who came, was a big shot in this organization, and he was going to speak at an Onik Shabbos. So I went. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He wasn't from the people that I interviewed in Okeid. He was somebody who I didn't know, and I wanted to hear what he's going to tell these children. So the only Shabbos he got up and he told the following story. He said that he came to Eretz Yisrael in the 50s and he met a taxi driver. The taxi driver was totally not from. The taxi driver tells him, I'm the only one left from my whole family. They were all annihilated by Hitler in the Holocaust. He said, early on in the 1930s, before Hitler really came to power, before the war started, after Hitler came to power, my parents went to the Rav of the city and they asked him what they should do. Should they emigrate to Eretz Yisrael or should they stay where they are? And the Rav told my parents that they're not very strong Yiddishkeit wise, and the Ruach in Eretz Yisrael at the time was very anti-religious, and he was afraid that if they went to Eretz Yisrael they would lose their Yiddishkeit. And he suggested they stay where they are. I was a teenager, and I ran away from home. And I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm the only one who survived. Moral of the story, says this man, don't listen to Rabbonim, because if these people wouldn't have listened to the Rav, they would have also gone to Eretz Yisrael, and they would be saved. Obviously, I couldn't remain quiet with such a moral. So I told him the following. I said, let's assume, okay, that you're right, okay? But in the end, this taxi driver, you said, was totally irreligious, went completely off the derech. Now, I know that Chazal say, Godol hamachtiyo yosef me'ahorgo. It's worse to make somebody sin than to kill them. Why? Because if you kill them, you only kill them in this world. But they don't lose their next world. But if you make somebody sin, you can make them lose the next world too. It's better to die in this world than to lose the next world. Therefore, I don't know what the moral of the story was. Lemaisa, the Rav, was right. This kid went to Eretz Yisrael, and he went off the derech completely. Became completely not for him. The parents died in the Holocaust. No, it's hard to hear. But they got their Olam Haba. So in the final analysis, after 200 years after the Maisa, right, let's say, who is better off? The taxi driver who emigrated to Israel, saved his life for a few years, but went off the derech completely, as the Rav predicted? Or the family that Rahman al-Islam were killed in the Holocaust and died at Misas Kedoshim and got an Olam Haba or whatever? 200 years after the fact, I don't know who was better off. I do know who was better off, but Lamais, it's hard to hear. Beyond that, there's a Gemara that they say, you see that Gedolim can make mistakes. The Gemara says like this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got out of Yerushalayim when the siege of the Romans was in effect, And he spoke to Vespasian, who became the Roman Caesar. And Vespasian asked him, he was impressed with him, he said, "What do you want?" Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "I want three things. I want a doctor to heal Reb Tzadok, who's been fasting for 40 years at the Beis HaMikdash, shouldn't be destroyed. I want you to give me Yavne v'chachonero. I want you to make sure the Sanhedrin continues. And what's it called? And I want you to, what's it called, give me the Shoshilta of the Rebbe Gamliel. The Nesiyas should continue." That was it. Years later, in the Gemara, the Amoraim argue whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a mistake or not. Maybe he made a mistake. He should have said, you like me, you want to give me, you ask me what I want, spare Yerushalayim, don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he should have said. But he asked for these three things. Go for the jackpot. So the Gemara says, no, it could be that if he would have asked for that, they would have given nothing. He asked what he thought they would give. The Gemara says in the end, no, he made a mistake. But he didn't make a mistake. What's it called? It says, Das Chachomim Yisokel. What's it called? Meshiv Chachomim Ochor V'daitom Yisokel. Sometimes the Rabbanu Shel Olam doesn't want the Talmud Chacham to say what normally would be the answer. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam makes him make a mistake, because that's Ratzon Hashem. Meaning that the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. He didn't want Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to ask that it shouldn't be destroyed. So Enoch Enami made a mistake, but the mistake was oriented by God. That means he didn't make a mistake. He did what was Ratzon Hashem. Even when the Talmid HaChacham make a mistake, but that's Ratzon Hashem. That's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants. Since the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the one who said that he is going to foist his authority on us through Talmid HaChachamim, that's Ratzon Hashem. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam has a vested interest that the Talmud Chacham says what he wants. So usually he gives that Talmud Chacham siyata d'shmaya, like we said, that nevuas hachachamim, to espouse Ratzon Hashem. But where the Ratzon Hashem is, that the Talmud Chacham, if he used his own reasoning, would not come out with the result that the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants a result that is not very tasty or appetizing, then that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants that Talmud Chacham to say. Meshiv Chachamim Ocher. In the end, therefore, that was Ratzon Hashem. That's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted. Not that the Chacham made a mistake, but the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted him to say that, because that was what Ratzon Hashem was, even though it was very, very not appetizing. So in the end, right, the person has to listen to the Chacham, even if they tell him, Yamin Simol, because that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants. He wants in this situation that Yamin should be Simol and Simol should be Yamin. And that's why Chazal say, Godol Silukin Shel Chachamim, Yosem Yichudin Beis HaMikdash. How does the Shechina remain? How do we have a kesher with the Rabbanu Shel Olam after there's no Beis HaMikdash? There's no Nevi'im. There's no Shechina in the Makom HaMikdash. You know how we retain a connection forever, even when Golus, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, where there's no Nevuah, we maintain our connection to the Rabbanu Shel Olam through Talmid HaChacham. That's his Ratzon. They should be the ones to represent him. And therefore, where there are no Talmid HaChacham, and when the Rabbanu Shel Olam takes them away, that's worse than Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because after Churban Beis HaMikdash is a Hemshech. But if there's no Talmid HaChacham, there's no Hemshech. It's worse than Churban Beis HaMikdash. There's another idea, though. And that is that when people think that they know better than the Talmid HaChachamim, B'dor she'shoftim eshofteihem, v'yihibi me'shvot ha'shoftim, they used to judge their leaders very, very critically. Rabbi Stein mentioned, this one has this negius, this one has this political reason, and reasons why he said this or whatever. And you're not don them lekaf schus, that they're saying it as Torah l'shem shomayim. So then, what happens is isha yosher be'einov yasa. And that's what that was the tkuf of the shoftim, because they were too critical of their leaders. What does that mean? There's a halacha, they have to be don lekaf schus. It's interesting, the Gemara in Shabbos, where it speaks about this inyan of giving people the benefit of the doubt, gives an example of a Rebbe and his Talmidim that the Talmidim were done the Rebbe Lekaf Schos. Now, if you ask me, that's not a good example. Of course, Talmidim have to give the Rebbe a Kaf Schos. Who says that I have to give you a Kaf Schos? You're not my Rebbe. So, how do you know that a regular person has to be Don Lekaf Schos? Somebody else. Just because they brought me a Raya, the Talmidim, right, gave the Rebbe a Kaf Schos, that's no Raya. That's something special. The answer is, that's the biggest Raya. I never understood. There's a Rishonim who say that by Mitzvah Mitzrayim it says that Gam Ha'ish Moshe Vashem Nosan Eschein Ha'am Deinim Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Shem did a tremendous miracle that the Egyptians didn't hate us before we left, but we were charming in their eyes. Miracle. Gam Ha'ish Moshe, Moshe, who caused such destruction in Mitzrayim, you would think that they would really loathe him. Gam Ha'ish Moshe Godol Be'enei Avdei Paro, Godol Ma'ol Be'enei Avdei Paro U'Be'enei Ha'am. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was great in the eyes of Paro's servants and in the eyes of the nation. Simple meaning, not only did Paro's servants, who saw all the inner workings of what went on and saw what Moshe Rabbeinu did, right, face to face, did they consider Moshe great, but even the Hamon Am of Mitzrayim, they didn't see all the inner workings. They also thought Moshe Rabbeinu was great. All they saw was what the results were. Still, they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was great. But some Rishonim learned Be'enei Ha'am means Yidden. Not only was Moshe great in the eyes of Paro's servants, even the Jews thought he was great. I never understood that until I became a rabbi. That's a real nice. Goyim think you're great. That's no big deal. But Yidden think you're great. That's already something. B'nei Ha'am. The last one you give Kaf Schus is your Rebbe. Is your Rav. Is Talmidei Chachamim. Right? You may be your neighbor, you'll judge him the Kaf Schus. But your Rebbe, the Rav, the Gadol, right? Him, you don't give any benefit of the doubt. He might have had this bad kavon and that bad kavon or whatever. And if you see if Talmidim gave their Rebbe a Kaf Schus, then give everybody a Kaf Schus. And it's the halacha is just the opposite. When it says Havidonis Kol Ha'odom the Kaf Schus, it doesn't mean judge everybody favorably, because it's not true. You don't have to judge all people favorably, equally. A Rasha who is known to be a terrible Rasha, you don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Because if you do, then it makes a bad impression on you. If you see him do something, you have to assume he's doing it with bad intentions. That's Allah. You don him the kafchov. An average person. You have to be don him the kafchos only if it's something reasonable. But if it's something unreasonable, right, then you don't have to be done on the Kaf Schos. Maybe the mitzvah, right, lifting Meshuras Hadim, you can give them the Kaf Schos even in that case. Give an example. See a regular person walk into a trefa restaurant. Okay, that's all you saw. You saw him walk into a trefa restaurant. So it's reasonable to assume he went in to go to the bathroom. He went in to have a glass of water. He's very thirsty, had no place to go. He went to get a glass of water. It's reasonable. Okay? But if you see an average person sitting down and eating a ham sandwich in a trefa restaurant, there's nothing to be done with the Kaf Schos. Either is. He had an attack of a life-threatening disease on the spot, and he had to eat something immediately, and the only thing, and he had to eat some protein, and the only thing they had was a ham sandwich, and that's what he ate. You don't have to be done with the Kaf Schos. That's unreasonable. Probably he's eating a ham sandwich because he's hungry. Not because he had some kind of pikuach nefesh situation. However, if you saw Rav Moshe Feinstein walk into, Rav Shach, walk into a trefa restaurant, sitting there relishing a ham sandwich, you would have a mitzvah to assume that it's pikuach nefesh. That there's some reason why, what's it called, he has to eat that sandwich right now, even if it's unreasonable. Because a gadol, right, as a person that's known to be a tzaddik, you're mechuyev to be donim lekaf schos, even in an unreasonable situation. So, talmidei chachamim, right, you think they're making a mistake, or you think that they're doing it because of this, you have a chiyuv to be donim lekaf schos, to assume that that's not the case. And even if it's unreasonable, you're mechuyev to be donim lekaf schos. So therefore, a person to say, well, I'm not listening to that Gadol because he did this for this reason or that reason, when you can give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't do it. Like the Chazal Ish says. Right? So you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. And according to the Chazal Ish, it's not only not unreasonable, it's reasonable too. Because he's so eflemis, you know that in other situations, his midos, his sidkus, his yirashamayim, why would he want to do something that's not lefiho emes? And you can judge him favorably or unfavorably. You mechuyev to judge him favorably. That's how you have to look at a God. So that is the mitzvah of emunas chachamim. Okay. Now we have a problem though. There's a lot of chachamim in the world. And sometimes they don't agree. And they say different things. And this one holds this thing, or this one holds this thing. So in halacha things, we know that it's not an ideal thing to have halachas that contradict each other in the same place. It's awesome. Los is called to do. In one city, or one based in, one community, one kehila, you can't have some people doing like this and some people doing like that. Because it looks very bad. It looks like two Torahs. Right? This one has his Torah and this one has his Torah. So in one kehila, you're mechuyev that everybody does one way. They follow one psak because otherwise it looks like two Torahs. Unfortunately today, people know what's going on in every kehila. And there's big cities where there are many, many kehilas. And each one has its minhagim and its halachas. And this one does this, and this one eats this, and this one doesn't eat that, and the other one eats that, and doesn't eat the first thing. And this one, what's it called, holds that this is the halacha, you put on tefillin and chalamoy, and this one holds you don't put on tefillin and chalamoy. And even though it's different kehilas, where it's okay, but it looks like two Torahs. And we have these gedolim who say, this is what Klal Yisrael should do, and these gedolim say something else Klal Yisrael should do, and there's machlokas between them. So ideally, those machloksin should be resolved. And up until Hillel and Shammai, all the machloksin were resolved except for one. They had machloksin. They argued. Because since the Torah depends on human beings, that's what the Torah wants, lo b'shamayim hi, and human beings are different, k'shem she'ein partzufeyim domos, no two people look the same, and no people two think the same. And everybody has a right to Talmud Chacham, to learn the Torah according to his understanding. And his understanding is different than somebody else's understanding. And when he comes out with the same rules, is different. Shammai came out different than Hillel. And that's perfectly okay. But then there's the next shlav. Okay, now you have an argument, so what do? You resolve it. So they went to the Sanhedrin, they argued it out, and then they voted. And whatever the rove of the Sanhedrin said, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. But when the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel Shaloshimshu, what's it called? Called Tzorchem, right? They Shimush Talmid Chacham means they didn't really come to the real depth of the understanding of their Rebbeim. They weren't able then to be Machria. They weren't able then to come to a final thing. So each one kept the Machlokas, their side. And then it taka looked like two Torahs, which is not such a great thing, but that's the way it was. So what do you do in that case? Where you have conflicting views, and there's a mitzvah of the munas achamim. You can't believe everybody, because this one says do this, this one says do the opposite. So what do you do in that case? So that's called machlokas l'shem shamayim. Machlokas hillel v'shamayim, beis hillel beis shamayim also. Machlokas l'shem shamayim is a positive thing, right? Even though it has negative results too. It's positive because machlokas, what's the difference between machlokas l'shem shamayim, machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim? Okay? It says, kol machlokas l'shem shamayim, sofa l'shkayim. The end will be preserved. And machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim, ain't sofa l'shkayim. So they say in tongue in cheek that when people argue and they know that it's not l'shem shamayim, there's a chance the argument will stop. But when they think it's l'shem shamayim, it'll never end. Because everybody thinks it's l'shem shamayim. So you have to make sure, as the Kotzker said, that your machlokas l'shem shamayim is really l'shem shamayim. Okay. But what about a machlokas is really l'shem shamayim? What's the difference between that and a machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim? Machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim is where people argue because everybody wants to be right. and only one person can be right. So I don't really care what's right, I just want to be right. So then they argue until one of them remains on top, and it's ain sofa l'shkayim. Both can't come out winners. One of them loses. But machlokas l'shem shamayim is where they're arguing not against each other, but they're arguing with each other. And the goal is, what is right? What is the truth? Except in order to come to the truth, I have to tell you what I think, and you have to tell me what you think, and I can ask questions on you, and you ask questions on me, until one of us will convince the other one that this is the truth. And then both win, because that's what they wanted. They didn't want to be right, they wanted what was right. And now we know what's right. Both of us win. So for this guy. That's machlokas l'shem shamayim. And that only works if you're arguing against somebody, then you want to put them down. That's your goal. And then in order to put them down, you have to put them down in many, many different ways. And people can't get along. And they destroy each other or whatever. Laman ho'emes. But they're not laman ho'emes. They're laman that they should be the ones that are emes. That's machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim. How do you know the machlokas of Shammai and Hillel and Beis Shammai because it was the same shamayim? Because they were friendly with each other. They didn't intermarry with each other. That's called, even though according to some this one was what's it called Osir and this one was Mutter, they told each other, you can't marry this one because according to you she's Osir, or he's Osir. But according to us it's okay. And we can't marry from those of yours because we hold their Osir, but we'll marry the ones that we agree on. So they never were mevatel each other. They were able to argue with each other. And that is the machlokas of Talmid Chacham. You have to give them the katzchus again. When gedolim argue, they're arguing leman ho'emes. And they're not arguing to put each other down. They're arguing because they want what the emes is. And again, if it doesn't look like that, or you think it's not like that, or if you think like that because it's a good way to think, because then you don't have to listen to the gedolim. Because they're all, you know, warmongers and bali machlokas. So you have a vested interest why not to be done on the katzchus, but the halach is not like that. You have to give them a katzchus even if it's unreasonable. Of course, it's reasonable. The unfortunate thing is, though, that people get involved in the machlokas of gedolim who then are not l'shem shamayim, who have their own personal things. And it's the little people who get involved that are mevatel the other side because they think they're doing that to uphold their gadol. So he asked me, so why doesn't the gadol come out and tell them, you know, because sometimes telling these people won't help. Right? They'll just find another gadol to go with or whatever, or they'll say that the gadol's an onuv or whatever, and therefore he doesn't want us to do what we're doing. So there's a million different reasons why gedolim can make pronouncements and give hadracha, but they can't control how people deal with that. Even the people who supposedly are their greatest chassidim, but they say that it used to be the Rebbe sang the niggun and the chassidim danced to it. Now the Rebbe dances to the niggun that the chassidim do. So it's very difficult to control people, and sometimes the gadol has to know that if he tries to say something the people won't be makabel, then he loses his influence completely, and it's better that in this situation he doesn't say in order to be able to say in other situations. Okay, I don't know, I'm not second guessing Gedolei Yisrael, but evadi these are part of the cheshbonos, and whatever the cheshbon is or not is, right, I'll tell you something that I once told somebody. I'll tell you that the Metzius maybe, yeah. Rav Shach many times spoke out against things, but people didn't realize how serious they were, and they felt that, what's he making a big deal? He's just making machlokas, right? He's just making people ill feeling and a lot of machlokas. Why wouldn't it be better if he kept quiet? Why is he doing this? So I told somebody who said this to me, I told him, look, do you agree that Rav Shach is a lot smarter than you are? Okay, yeah. I said, that means that he knows what he's causing by saying what he's saying. Okay? Now, do you think he's stupid? Right? You know better, right? You know, if you would be in that situation, you wouldn't say it because it's a smart thing to keep quiet and not to make machlokas or whatever. Now, don't you think that Rav Shach knows that? Just what you know. And still, he decided to do it. So either he's a stupid person, or he knows things beyond what you know and knows that it's kedai, even though it's going to cause ill feeling and machlokas, but leman ha'emes and leman what's good for Klal Yisrael, he's doing it l'shem shamayim. Right, which would you rather believe? That he doesn't know as much as you and he's stupid? Or you agree that he's a smart man and you're saying that when that smart man is doing something stupid in your eyes. So either you have to believe he's stupid or you have to believe that he knows things that you don't know, right, that make what he's doing smart but appear stupid to you. Which would you rather believe in? Which makes more sense? That's how you have to look at Gedolim. So it's true. It's not easy. So what do you do? So there's halachas. What do you do when it comes to halacha? You're very fortunate here. You have a rav, a manik, who you can look up to, and it's on his shoulders. He'll tell you what to do. How does he know what to do? Right? You have to listen to your rav. There's no shaila. And whether it comes to halacha, when it comes to hashkafa, whatever it is, you don't like it, go join another shul. But if you're a member here, then this is your kehila. Then this is your rav. You have to listen to him. How does he know what to do? Because he has rebbeim, and he has to listen to them. And how do they know? Because they have rebbeim. And a person has to follow his rebbe. What if you don't have a rebbe? You can't. First of all, you can't go around picking. You know, for this one, this is my rebbe, because he says what I like to hear. And this one, he's my rebbe because this is what I like to hear. And you go shopping at different supermarkets where they have the sales. Right, and pick up something over here and put something over there. It doesn't work like that. You're stuck with one supermarket where the sale item, and you have to sometimes pay extra because you have that morad derech. But so that's a person has to either follow his rebbe, and he can follow his rebbe even if his rebbe is a das yochid, even if his rebbe disagrees with everybody else in Klal Yisrael. But that's your Rebbe you follow for everything, then you can follow him for this too. But if you don't have a specific Rebbe, right, to follow, right, and we're talking now on the next level up, you have to follow your Rav. But the Rav doesn't have a Rebbe specifically. So then you have to follow the Das of Rov Gedolei Israel in certain things, in the Rabbonans is one halacha, in the Reis is a different halacha, you have to follow the Machmir, or you could follow the Mekel. There's halachas. Of when there's arguments amongst Gedolim in Psak and Halacha, what you do, there's same klolim when it comes to Hashkafa. Hashkafa and Halacha are not different. The same thing. So it's all Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. So there are rules how you have to follow. But that doesn't mean you have to mevatel the other side. Klal Yisrael is made up of many, many different factions. And that's the way it should be. The Chafetz Chaim was once asked by somebody, wouldn't it be better if all Klal Yisrael were one monolithic way? Everybody dressed the same way, wore the same yarmulke, the same, what's it called, miftah, right? Not daven the same nusach, Ashkenaz or Sfard or whatever, right? Everybody did exactly the same thing. Not so many differences and so many different halachas and different hanhogas or whatever. Wouldn't it be better? It didn't say which way he was promoting. I'll tell you which way, his way. Whatever that was, right? That's what he wanted. So he expected the Chafetz Chaim to get up the next day, give a clap on his tender, and say, from now on, we all do it the same way. Chafetz Chaim said, what are you asking me this question? Go ask the Tsar why he has so many different divisions in his army. He has the Navy and the Air Force and the Cavalry and the Infantry. Right? Wouldn't it be better if everybody was one way? They all wore the same uniform. They all were either on the ground or on the horses or in the sea. One thing, be much more streamlined, be able to take care of his army much easier. You know what the Tsar will tell you? 100%. Be much more streamlined, much more economic, be easier to take care of. I'd never win a war. To win a war, I have to have all these different divisions. Klal Yisrael needs different divisions. And when there's different divisions, there's division. And there's machlokas. But that machlokas is healthy as long as people aren't mevatel each other. Because the people in the Navy aren't mevatel the people in the Army. They realize that the Army is a different thing and they have their different klalim, but they're all part of the same, all part of the same malchus. They're all working towards the same goal. They may do it differently, but they're all working towards the same goal. That's the ideal. The Chafetz Chaim says that's what it means. Really, the Chafetz Chaim says it, but I saw Rabbi Kiva Eger already said it before. It says in the Gemara in Tainis, Lasid Lava Kodesh Baruch Hu is to make a big circle, big dance in a circle for all the tzaddikim, and he's going to sit in the middle, and they're all going to point Ze Elokeinu Kivinu Lo. This is the Rebbeinu Shem we waited for. So Chafetz Chaim says, sounds like Ramper Room, right? This is Olam Haba, everybody dancing around a circle with the Ganevet in the middle, pointing the finger. What does it mean? He said, in this world, there's a lot of different kinds of tzaddikim, with different viewpoints and different emphasis. Some tzaddikim emphasize Limud HaTorah. They also do Chesed, they also Daven, but their emphasis is Limud HaTorah. Amongst them, there's all different kinds of drachim of how to learn Torah. There's, you know, a Litvish way, and a Polish way, and a Hungarian way, and a Taimani way. They're different drachim of Limud HaTorah. They learn different, completely different ways. And in amongst each one, there's Tells, and there's Mir, and there's Brisk, and different approaches. And in each one of them, some people learn fast, and some people learn slow, and some people learn Pilpul, and some people learn Halacha. So take it all together, there's hundreds of different variations of those people who emphasize Torah. And then there's Tzaddikim who emphasize Tefillah. That's their Ikar, Avoda. They also learn Torah, they also do Chesed, but their main emphasis is Avoda. And there's some daven this nusach, and some a different nusach, some daven loud, and some daven low, and some daven slow, and some daven fast. All different approaches to Tefillah. And then there's tzaddikim who emphasize chesed. They learn and they daven, but their emphasis is chesed. So this one has an organization for chesed, for almonis, and this one for yesomim, and this one for poor people, and this one for sick people, and all different organizations. And sometimes they compete with each other for folks or whatever. There's a machlokas between them. And each one thinks that his derech is the one that is the bullseye, and everybody else is out in left field somewhere. Some more, some less. But that's my derech, is like that. So in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put them all in a big circle, and he's going to be in the middle. And all the paths from the circle to the middle, all the radii of the circle are equal. That's what they're going to say. Everybody's going to realize that even though there were differences, but as long as you're on the circle, you're equidistant from the Rebbeinu Shalom. If you're not on the circle, it's a different story. You can be not on the circle, right? You can be not believe in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, the Yud Gimel Ikarim. You're off the circle somewhere. Then it doesn't work. But if you have a Masorah and you believe in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, but you have a different approach, a different conclusion. So you're over here and the other guy's 180 degrees, big machlokas. I held this as a derech and he held this as a derech. But they're equidistant from the Rebbeinu Shalom. In this world, a person has to maintain his derech. How do you know what your derech is? Like I told you, you have a Rav, you have a Rebbe, you have Das Rov Gedolei Yisrael, follow the Rov, follow your Rebbe, whatever. There's halachas, what you have to do. But in the next world, everybody is going to be on that circle, and somebody told me, it says machol, machol's a dance. They're not going to stay stationary. They're going to go around, and each one's experienced what the other one experienced, and see the other derech. But that's for the next world. For this world, you have to have your derech. So why, Taka, can't it be like that? Why can't there be machlokas, l'shem shamayim? People hold differently what should be. They can argue it out, gedolim. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're doing it l'shem shamayim. And if they don't tell you to get involved, then you don't have to get involved. If they ask you to get involved, it's a different story. But until they tell you to get involved, don't get involved. Why put your head between two mountains? So you follow what you are, but you don't have to get involved in the machlokas and make it shelo l'shem shamayim. And why do people make it shelo? Why the ketanei hamoach make it shelo l'shem shamayim? Even on the level of the gedolim l'shem shamayim, right? The Satmar Rebbe argued vehemently with certain things that the Tozer Rosh Yeshiva held, yet they were able to be respect each other. They didn't agree with each other, but they respected each other. Why other people don't respect anybody or what's it called and make machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim and blame it on gedolim and they say that they're the shluchim of these gedolim and they're self-appointed shluchim. Why? So I think one of the problems is the following. And that doesn't mean that you have to just accept, you know, live and let live. That's not Jewish. Okay, you do your way, I'll do my way. Everybody's, if I feel you're doing something wrong, I should give you tochacha. But tochacha doesn't come because I'm a vatal you, because I don't think you're anything. It becomes because I love you. If somebody in the Air Force sees that somebody in the Army is not doing his job, he gives him tochacha because we're all in the same boat and we need you. I'm not doing it because I don't like you. I'm doing it because I like you and because I like me. And if we don't do what's right and you don't do your job properly, then we're all going to suffer. So I can give you tochacha. Doesn't mean I have to accept everything and we can fight it out and argue it out. But argue out of respect and love, not out of bittul. So why is it the other way? I always like to say that the problem is the following. The Kotzke Rebbe says two things that I want to put together, and part of it is the problem of why people get involved in machloksin that are l'shem shamayim and reduce them to shalol l'shem shamayim on their level. Kotzke Rebbe said on the Gemara, binyan na'orim stira, u'stira zakenim binyan. Simple meaning is that when foolish people build, sometimes their building is really destroying. And when Zakenim destroy, really it's building. So he said, no, it means something else. Binyan da'arim, you know how foolish people build themselves up? By stira, by knocking other people down. They have nothing to build themselves up with, so if you knock somebody else down, you're up or higher. You didn't change, right? But you knocked them into the ground, so now you're higher than them. But stira Zakenim, you know how Zakenim knock things down? By building themselves up. Then the Kotzke said something else. He said in Yiddish, I'll say it in Hebrew because in English it sounds ridiculous. and in Yiddish, I don't have enough teeth to break, so. He said like this, Im ani ani, mipnei shani ani, vi ato ato, mipnei shato ato, אז אני אני ויאתו אתו אבל אם אני אני מפני שאתו אתו ויאתו אתו מפני שאני אני אז אין אני אני ואין אתו אתו. What does it mean? If I'm me because I know who I am and you're you because you know who you are, then we both have identities. If I'm me and you're you. But if I'm me only because I know I'm not you, I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not you. And you're you only because you know you're not me. You don't know who you are, but you know you're not me. Then we have no identity. And a negative identity is not an identity. What's the bottom line? If people would know who their gedolim are, who their rebbeim are, why they do what they do, they know what their mesorah is, they know what their shita is, they wouldn't feel threatened by other people. They'd be able to build themselves up, and they wouldn't feel threatened by other people, and they wouldn't have to knock them down to give themselves an identity. But since most people have no idea what their mesorah is, they don't know who their rabbonim are. They don't know why, what their derech is. So the only way that they feel secure is by knocking other people down, because a negative identity is no identity. So the only way I can feel secure, I feel threatened by other people who do different than me, who hold differently than me. So in order, since I feel threatened, I have to, what's it called? I have to knock them down. Rabbi Twersky, in one of his books, gives the example of a person who only recognized himself because of his clothing. He was afraid to go to the mikveh because he forget who he was. So he decided he's going to tie a red string around his finger and he'll go into the mikveh and he'll see the red string and remember who he is. Goes into the mikveh, the red string gets unraveled and gets tied on somebody else's finger. Comes out of the mikveh, sees the red string on the other guy's finger. He says, look, I know who you are. Who am I? Sometimes we only recognize ourselves by external things. And we don't understand who we really are and what we really hold. And therefore we feel threatened by other people. They do something different already than the threatening me. If you understand who you are, you don't feel threatened by that. In addition to that, there's also a lot of other things that make machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. Kina, taiva, kovod. And when those play into the machlokes, it's not anymore for the sake of emes. It's for the sake of kina or taiva or kovod. And then for the small-minded people who can't argue on a level where they respect the person they're arguing on, and they're arguing with them for l'man ha'emes, but they have to argue against them because they want their kina, their taiva, their kovet, and only one person is going to get it. So it's me or you. Then they're arguing against other people. So then they join the fight, but they join the fight from a completely different standpoint. So the best thing is to, in these situations, to look at Gedolei Yisrael and to give them the benefit of the doubt. They deserve the benefit of the doubt just as much as anybody else, and I'm telling you halachically even more, even where it's not reasonable. To give them the benefit of the doubt that they're doing it l'shem shamayim. There's all these other people that perhaps they can't control, or for various reasons don't want to control because of what the repercussions would be, or whatever, it's their cheshbonos. Don't claim to know what they know, or whatever. And again, if I think I know better than them, then either I think they're stupid and know less than me, right? Or maybe they know more than me, and therefore maybe they know things that if I would know what they know, I would also feel that that's the right thing to do. I would rather believe that they know more than me, which is probably the case, than to think that they're stupider than I am, right? And I know better than them, and I wouldn't do that because I know that's a really stupid thing to do. But they don't know that, because they're even stupider than I am. That's absurd. Okay. So, in any case, if we will reach a level where we give our gedolim a benefit of the doubt, and we don't get involved in these machloksim where they don't ask us to get involved, because if we'll get involved, it'll be on a different level. It won't be l'shem shamayim anymore. Right? Therefore, it's kedai to follow your das Torah and not to worry about arguing with other people or whatever, unless they ask you to get involved with it. Right? It's a different story. And in that case, emes v'hashalom ehavu, that's what will build the Beis HaMikdash. Emes and shalom. There has to be a balance between them. The emes that will bring to shalom, and shalom that's built on emes. Both are important. When there's a balance between emes and shalom, right, you don't sacrifice the emes just that everybody can do whatever they want, and you don't sacrifice shalom because of emes. You're able to come to the emes with a certain shalom too, then all the tzomos will be nepach, l'sosim, l'simcha, l'moad, and tovim. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us Eliyahu HaNavi, whose purpose is to bring shalom into the world. Because he'll resolve all these machloksim. Right? All the tekus, tishbi, yitoris, kushiv, zabayis, all the tekus, all the machloksim will be muchra, won't be any more machlokas, there'll be shalom, leivavos albonim, and leivonim alavosam. And then, people will see that the world will be mole, Deyas Hashem, Kamayim, Liyam, Mechasim. It's Hosea Rosh Hashiva says, what does that mean? It'll be filled like the ocean, with Das Hashem. So there's a lot of things in the ocean. There's fish, there's seaweed, there's rocks, there's a million things. But when you look at the sea, what do you see? Water. Same thing. There's a lot of things in the world. But you'll see it's all Torah. It's all water of Torah. All the many things are part of that Yam HaGadol that's called the Torah. And when people will understand that everything is Torah, and all of these machloksin will be Meyushev, that'll be Taka, Yemos HaMashiach, Meherav Yom.